stand for a few moments here. A lot of you probably didn't get the one call. And I was hoping you'd stay out a little longer there, Brittany. Brittany, we kind of share with the one call with our admin team. And she accidentally one called the wrong date. So instead of 2-1, it was 1-2. And we've already passed that. So that's just how it works sometimes. Technology only does what you tell it to do. So anyway, the power of a focused life. We've talked about vision, how that vision, some of our dreams, some of our aspirations that we have on our lives, we need to take and have focus for that, to accomplish that. So we're talking about staying focused, maintaining a spiritual balance. We talked about faith, God, family, others before yourself, cutting out distractions, unplugging as often as you can, simplifying your life. We talked about goals last Wednesday night, and I was not aware that the message was not taped, recorded, I guess. So probably what we're going to do is maybe preach that in a broom closet or something, and then we'll put it out online so that we at least have a complete series, because it's part of this, and a very vital part is setting goals in our lives. But we're going to be talking about Bible study tonight, and our reading from our passages of Scripture, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I love that passage of Scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm so thankful for godly counsel in my life, because I have lived a very blessed life and a prosperous life because of that. You can be seated tonight. So I don't know how many of you actually remembered to bring your Bible study tonight. If you have a favorite Bible that you like to take and study out of, we're going to get into that in a little bit here. But before we get started, I wish to lay a bit of a groundwork. And when I say groundwork, that's plumbing terminology for foundation, okay? All the plumbers in the house know what a groundwork means. That's our foundation. Everything builds off of that. And I just want to start off with, why is it important? What's the importance in studying the Bible? You see, study by nature constitutes an action. Study is an action word, and you will spend much more time reading the Bible and talking with God through Scripture and through prayer if you have a plan of action. Last week, we talked about setting goals. One of your goals should be to study and read the Word of God at a deeper, more diligent level. As we grow in God, it's very important that our level of God grows as well. If you come into the church, you've been here for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, and you don't know where to find certain books of the Bible, just memorize the books of the Bible. Ask a Sunday school teacher to help you, because a lot of our classes, we teach that in Sunday school, to memorize the books of the Bible. So without a plan, the average person will basically, we talk a good talk, but we don't walk a good walk. And every plan of action, we need plans of action for every area of our life that we need and have a vision for. We don't always have to take and plan out a vacation to the minute detail, but we need to plan out our lives where we want or where God is calling us to go, or the more important or crucial acts of our lives. We need to spend a little bit more time focusing on those areas. So we need to develop an action plan for personal Bible study, and with that action plan, that will foster an intimate relationship with God. It's sometimes it's a little bit puzzling to me when people say, you know, I really want to know God. I really want to have a deeper relationship with Him. And then you ask the question, are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you reading His Word? And it's a no, no, no. I'm too busy. I don't have a lot of time. Then you will never develop an intimate personal relationship with God. Stop pursuing it then. Pursue other things. If you can't do those things, you're never going to get there. So I want to encourage you to take the time, put it in your plan. We need to open up our lives. We need to open up our minds and our hearts to God so that He can literally pour into us the power of His Word. God's Word is powerful. I want to encourage you. God's Word is powerful. We went through this 21 days of fasting, and for some of us, I know last year I just got hungry. I was frustrated, and things didn't happen the way I hoped they would happen or thought they would happen in my life, so I got a little bit frustrated in my life. But this year, when we went through the fast, something powerful happened after about 10 days into this fast. I can't exactly tell you exactly what it is, or how it all transpired, but something came into me or came over me of a power and of authority that I've never felt in my life. I think a lot of it has to do because I've decided that I'm going to pour myself into the Word as this fast goes on, and I want to develop good, solid, quality habits in my life. Paul here in Acts 20 verses 17 through 32, it's a reference only, so you can make notes of this. Paul is talking to mature Christians. He's talking to anointed elders, saints of God, and he's commending them, challenging them to stay in the Word of God. Why? It's because the Word of God has supernatural activity. When the written Word of God touches the human heart, an anointing of the Spirit begins to take hold in the heart of that person. It has a supernatural dynamic when it comes into contact with the human heart in the right conditions. To pray for me tonight. I don't know what's got into my throat. It doesn't hurt. It just doesn't want to work right. So, you see, the supernatural dynamic, we all want to be used by God. We want to see God work in a supernatural way in our lives. And it is in the Word of God and through the Word of God that this supernatural activity, this supernatural anointing comes into play. It will build us up. It will build us up. It will make our hearts flow out like rivers of living water. We talk about that, you know, out of the abundance of your heart. This is a crucial secret as well to prayer and study of God's Word. And we must seek to encounter the living Word, which is Jesus Christ, through the written Word, which is the Bible, the Word of God. We read in John 5, chapter 29, or verses 29 and through 40, and this is paraphrasing. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come unto me that you might have life." So many people get a vision, but they don't have an action plan. So with no plan of action, we end up going nowhere, and we end up spending most all of our life's energies, hear me now, fighting the wrong battles. We waste so much of life's energies fighting the wrong battles. You and I are families. We will gain ground just by staying focused, having an action plan and a schedule in studying the Word of God. Listen, tonight the plan of God is that as we encounter the living Word through the written Word and experience life. John 5, 39 and 40, as we said, let the scripture, search the scriptures and them that you think you have eternal life. And they are that they which testify me. The word of God is what God uses to get you and I and to get his church into our final destination, which is heaven. That's our inheritance. That's what we're working for. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you are excited about the day when you're able to walk through physical streets of gold and say, okay, this right here is what I sacrificed for, what we sacrificed for. This is what we worked for. We didn't lay up treasures on earth. We laid up treasures in heaven, and we're someday going to be able to lay claim to that inheritance. But yet so many of us, we think it's so far away that we're never going to get there. His inheritance, the love of God through godly ministry, which is relationships, is part of our inheritance. It's part of our blessings. And we must train our minds in ministry and train our hearts and allow our hearts to grow in passion. We need to get a vision that God's word is living and it's powerful. In Matthew 13, we find the parable, and so many of us, we could go through and we could probably quote this parable of the sower and the seed. It's an example of Jesus, and he's using the human heart as soil, and he's using the word of God as the seed. And so many times we hear this parable preached to the unsaved. We find four types of heart responses that come in contact with the word of God. I'm not so sure that when Jesus gave this parable, he was just specifically speaking to the people that were unsaved. You see, I believe that what he was really addressing here could be a very much a mirror or a shadow of his church. So let's look at this maybe in a little bit different light. We have the four types of heart responses that come into contact with the word of God. Number one is you have no root system. There's no root system. There's no root system in what? There's no root system in the word of God. No growing in understanding. So here you have a Christian. You have someone that is supposed to grow in Christ, but there's no growing in understanding. The word doesn't make sense. The seed is in an environment. It's all beat up. It's all dried up because we never feed it. We never water it. If you feed it only an hour a day, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. If you only eat when you're here at church, you're starving yourself to death. You need to water that seed that's been planted in your heart, and you need to water it multiple times a day. Whenever it's needed, water it. Take care of that seed. That seed is your life. It's your future. It's everything that is about you. Something will come alive as you begin to water that seed. Something will come alive and you will develop a root system, and your heart will continue to grow, and you will continue to grow in God. Sometimes we let the cares of this world, the deceitful of riches, number two type of a soil. That means we let things out in the world distract us from what God is calling us to do. Listen, you don't have to be a rich person to covet. Okay? You don't have to be wealthy to desire somebody else's stuff. You can be poor and desire somebody else's stuff. You can be middle class, or you can be wealthy and you can still covet. What you desire and long for will choke out the strength of the word in you. These are all conditions that we have to be aware of, because if we're going to go in and start studying the word of God, before we're able to get into the word of God and allow that word of God to grow in our lives, we got to do a little bit of gardening. So if you got things in your heart, deceitful of riches, the cares of this world, Mark 4:19 says desires for other things, and Luke adds in his writings the pleasures of life. We have a surface encounter with God's word, and we never allow God's word to transform our lives. That's allowing the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to step in. But if we allow those things to step in, it will never transform us, and it will hinder us as we continue to strive in our walk with God. If you water your life, if you water your seed, and you take care of the weeds around your life or in your life, read the Word of God devotionally, take out the cares, desires for things that are hindering your heart, that are blocking the strength of the Word of God, take personal time. You need personal time in the Word of God. And if you develop and allow yourself to get personal with God, you will have an understanding, and the spirit of revelation will be revealed in your life, and you will start to produce something of substance in your life. You may wonder, I've been here for years and I'm not producing anything of substance. This just might be the answer as to why. I can't make you grow in God. I can't. God can't make you grow in Him. It's a choice that we make. It's an option. As time goes by, we get too busy for the Word of God, and our heart begins to grow dead to it, and we slowly begin to digress. You see, Matthew 13, verses 4 through 8, and 18 through 23, we have the type of seeds, and we have the heart responses that come in contact with the Word of God. When we look at verse 21, it refers to Christians, those of us among us that don't develop a root system in the Word. As I said, no one can develop a root system for you. If you're going to grow in God, you have to do it. You have to do it. You can have two people sitting side by side in a pew, and one can grow and the other can die. Why is that? Because one person has a desire and the other person doesn't. Start small. Sometimes we think that we gotta, if we're gonna get anywhere in God, we gotta be a Rhodes Scholar. We gotta study hours every day. Start small. Start 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day, and the hunger will grow to a point that you're going to find all kinds of ways to increase that time. You're going to start to cherish that time. Those things that will choke us out, you see, you can't get the list of those things from anyone other than God. Sometimes we look at our lives and we say, God, reveal to me. We got to be honest with ourselves. I talked about this a few weeks back about evaluating our lives, self-evaluation. Sometimes you got to sit down with God and say, okay, God, just reveal to me those things that are choking out my life. You see, if we're so tied up in these things that choke us off from the Word of God, we need to ask God, show me, God, show me, God. So that when I read your word and I begin to study your word, there will be something that will produce substance in my life. Express devotion in the midst of study. It's crucial to have a devotional spirit. I've just found this out. There are times, I was talking to Brother Glenn before service, there are times when I'm studying that I have to get up and I have to walk away because the power of God is just so strong. I'm like, Lord, not that I don't want to study. I just want to come. I just want to have a little worship moment here, and I just want to talk to you for a little bit, God. I'm feeling some things in here. I just want to thank you. Listen, how you study and spend your time in devotion, that's your time with God. That's just like going out on a date with your wife. How you go out on your date and how you want to spend that time. If you want to spend it arguing, then spend it arguing. But I want to spend my time in a thankful, loving manner with my wife and with my God. I want to have a relationship, a loving relationship. It's crucial to have a devotional spirit. Have you ever told God, I love you and really meant it? I mean, so many times, it really is, it becomes so easy to just throw our hands up and say, oh, I love you, God, I love you, God. And then we go about our business and we don't talk to Him for 3 weeks. That's not relationship. Okay, we're talking about developing a relationship. We need to talk to God about what you read. When you read the Word of God, talk to Him about it. Say, God, help me understand this. Give me a better understanding of what Your Word is saying. Fast over it. If you're struggling with something in your life, push the plate away and say, God, I'm going to read Your Word. I'm going to divulge. I'm going to pour myself into Your Word. I'm going to fast a meal here or fast a meal there. And I want to spend some time in prayer and allow His Word to take you and launch you into a new purpose in your life. I mean, ask yourself, would you like to take your marriage, your business to the next level? How would you like to take your personal finances to the level that Dave Ramsey just drools over when you could call up and say and scream over the phone, I'm debt free? How many would you like to do that in your life? How many of you would take the same energies that you would apply into marriage, business, and finances? And how about applying those into your relationship with God? Because if you apply those energies, that time in your relationship with God, all of those other things are going to take care of themselves. You see, what would your life look like if you move forward with God to the next level that He has for you? Think about this. This is why we need to evaluate. We need to evaluate so we can, listen, write this one down. We need to evaluate so we can elevate. If you evaluate and you give a correct evaluation, then God will take you places that you never thought you would be able to go. You evaluate so you can elevate every part of our life. God doesn't just want to bless you in ministry. He wants to bless you in every aspect of your life. Look at Abraham, how God had blessed him. It amazes me when you look at Abraham and Lot. They split up on the plains of Shinar. Why is that? Because both of them had become so filthy wealthy with cattle and camels and oxen and sheep and all of that, that they had to split up because they were so large. But Abraham continued the principles that he had lived by. And God continued to bless him. What did Lot have when he ran out of Sodom? He had absolutely nothing. What happened to all of his wealth? Think about that for a minute. He stopped evaluating his life. And God stopped elevating him. And he walked away with nothing, literally nothing. So may I suggest to you tonight, if you desire to move your life, our lives, to the next level, it starts off with memorizing the Word. Learn what Scripture means and commit it to memory. We need to meditate on the Scripture and review it often. How many of you, by having a passage, a series passage that we're reading, like in the book of Psalms, how many of you are memorizing that series, that passage of Scripture? Why is that? Because you're quoting it often. You don't quote it every day, maybe, but every service we're quoting that Scripture, and it becomes part of us. Blessed is the man. That's me. That's you. We pick up on that. So we need to memorize, meditate on the Scripture, review it often. I've learned that this will move our relationship, my relationship with God and my life, to a much more significant and a much more powerful place. So what does Scripture memorization do to us and for us? First, it will begin our understanding of who God is. A lot of times we struggle with that. Who is God? But when we start to memorize and we start to put His Word into our hearts and into our minds, it helps us open, it opens up an understanding. Memorizing the Word, learn the Scriptures, commit it to memory, meditate, review it often. As you memorize Scripture, we're going to gain understanding of God like you've never gained before. And second is a really a big thing. How many of you struggle hearing the voice of God? Just be honest. We got to be honest with ourselves. I went through a period of time that I just really struggled. I'm like, God, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? You see, as we memorize the scripture, we will gain an understanding of God and we'll begin to recognize God's voice. So as we memorize scripture, we begin to discern God's will and God's direction for our lives. Now understand, memorization only comes through reading. You have to read it to memorize it. Okay, how many times some of you folks that maybe your parents have passed away, how many times have you been in a quiet place, perhaps meditating or whatever, and you've heard your mom or your dad speak to you in your mind or your heart? Just things that mom and dad say. I sometimes can hear my grandma and my grandpa. You think about things, the grandkids do something, you say something, and you're like, wow, Papa used to say that. And our mind goes back and we begin to hear these things. Why does that happen? It happens because you and I had a close personal relationship with that person. In the same way, we need to hear God's voice by committing that scripture to memory. And third, memorizing scripture will draw you closer to God than you've ever been. The Apostle James encouraged us to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you in James 4:8. Finally, memorizing scripture will give you the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to us into our minds and into our hearts in the situations that we face every day of our lives. We don't always have the book with us. It amazes me as I get older and I deal with more and more situations that I don't always have a Bible handy. How some of those scriptures that I've heard preached and those messages over and over again and those principles all come back and God begins to draw that out of you. You see, instead of being left alone without any direction, memorizing scripture will open up the door to God's leadership and God's authority in our lives. So I don't know about you tonight, but I'm ready to move up in God. How many of you are ready to move up? So we're going to move on in our Bible study tonight. We're going to talk about an action plan for Bible study. As we go through this tonight, remember there's so many ways to study God's Word as there are people who study it. So every last one of us here tonight, if we sat down and I said, how do you study God's Word? We're going to come up with all different types of plans. I'm not saying any of them are right. I'm not saying any of them are wrong. Okay? I'm just going to go over 5 simple steps that I've kind of narrowed down out of all of the different things that we can use. And step one is really so basically simple. It starts with reading. Okay? If you're going to study something, you have to read. Okay? As we begin, we start to develop a plan on how we will approach reading through the Bible. What I'm talking about reading through the Bible, as you begin to read through the Word of God, you're going to start to figure out that there's themes that become familiar, there's history that is repeating at times, and the context that you find in one chapter, it may come back in another chapter, or in one book will complement another book, and you will find out that 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles were written almost in the same time period from 2 different points of view. And as you get into the minor prophets, you'll find out that most of their lives overlapped and they knew each other. These are all things that just come alive that I think is so exciting about the Word of God. Just by reading it, we become familiar with that. And I know a lot of folks, they like to listen to it being read. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I don't really get into reading the Word of God. I got it on my iPhone, or I got it on my Bible app on my computer. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't let the only source that connects you to His Word is listening to some fellow with an Australian accent read it. You need to get into it, and you need to study it. You can't study it driving down the Beltline listening to God creating the earth and hearing the thunder and the lightning and the bugs and the bees and all of this kind of stuff. That's listening to the Word of God. Nothing wrong with that. But to learn the Word of God, you got to get a Bible, you got to open it up, and you got to start to read it and study it. So the Bible, unlike most books, you're not going to sit down in one evening and read it from cover to cover. Okay? It's not going to happen that way, and you need to understand that. I want to study faith. You're not going to sit down in one night and read everything and study everything there is to know about faith. It's a process. It takes time. But the Bible, unlike most books, it's very different than most books that we read. And there's a lot of good Bible reading plans that are available out there. We have the BREAD program, which is Bible Reading Enriches Every Day or Any Day program. And we have the BREAD program, and there's all different kinds of different Bible study programs that you can get via eSword and all of these other different things. There's all kinds of resources out there. And just pick one. Pick one and follow it and read it. I would recommend as individuals to read through the Old Testament at least maybe once a year. Become familiar with what's in the Old Testament. Just read it. Just read it. And as you read in the margins of your Bible, and I have with me here tonight a study Bible, and in the margins of these Bibles, there's blanks, lines that you can take and you can write in them. And I wasn't able to get it tonight, but they make special pens that you can use. They make special highlighters that you can use that don't bleed through. Listen closely here. Don't just buy any highlighter and don't go get a Sharpie and start underlining verses, because you're going to underline 6 or 8 pages. Okay? I'm going to save you some frustration there. I've got an old study Bible that it took me a while to figure that out. And I got all kinds of stuff underlined and such. So they make special pens and special markers that you can get at the Bible bookstore, the Christian bookstore. I recommend you invest in a set of those, okay? And use that. And as you begin to read in the Old Testament, sometimes we read across things that I don't know what they are, and I'm not looking at that particular time, but it strikes something in me that I want to find out about it. So write a little margin, write a little note, take a post-it note, whatever works for you, and write something in there and leave that post-it note hang out. So you can come back later and you can look up, what does this mean? What was Jesus saying, or what was God saying when he talked to the Israelites about this, or this? So there's many different ways, and write down separately anything that you don't immediately understand. There's a lot of times as I go through and I begin to read the Word of God, there's things that I'm like, God, I don't know what you're saying here. I don't understand this. So I'll write it down and I'll come back to that point. And I'll begin to research and I'll begin to take and study. The questions to which you can't find answers to become starting points for more in-depth study, using commentaries and other reference tools when you go into the Old Testament to the New Testament, I would recommend reading that once a year, but I would recommend following a different type of a study with the New Testament. I would recommend that you read one book at a time, but pick one book and read it multiple times in a month. Read it on a daily basis. I would recommend, if you haven't done a lot of Bible study, start with a short book. Don't start with Psalms. You'll never get out of it, okay? Not that it's not important, but take a book in the New Testament, and maybe a book as such as 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, or maybe even Jude or Philippians is a great book on leadership and what God is looking for in men and women. These are books that you can read it through in one sitting, And you can read it through every day for 30 days. And as you begin to read into this, things will start to come out and you will start to study and it will start to get implanted in your heart and in your mind. And when you're driving down the Beltline, you'll find yourself quoting some of those portions of those books. So it's important. Start off with baby steps. Okay, at the end of that time, you're going to know that book. Write on index cards. I know this sounds old-fashioned. A lot of you have your notebooks, electronic. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. But I use index cards and post-it notes, and I write the major themes. What's the major theme of this chapter? What is Paul saying here? What is Jesus saying here? What is John saying here? What's Peter? What are they trying to get across here? Because what applied back then applies today too. Okay? So when you come to longer books, divide them into short sections and read each section daily for 30 days. When you get to the book of Acts, you don't have to read the entire book of Acts every day for 30 days. Take chapters 1, 2, and 3 perhaps and read them. Study them. Write down any questions you may have. Come back to them later. Remember, this is Bible study. It's not speed reading class. You're not going for your local license or your general license or ordination where you have to read it in a certain amount of time in order to get your license requirements in. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? For variety, alternate short books, long books. You could take the book of Revelation and you can spend an entire lifetime studying it because there's so many things that relate to other books of the Bible in the book of Revelation. Alternate those short and the long books. And in less than 3 years, you can finish the entire New Testament and know it and understand it, live in it, and profit from its benefits if you properly study it. Doesn't take a lifetime. So number one is you got to read it. Number two is interpretation of what you're reading. This is as crucial as reading it because we got to know what does this mean. A good example of that we find in Acts chapter 8 verse 30 when Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch, do you know what you're reading? He's reading the book of Isaiah. He's asking him, do you have any idea what those words mean? And he says, how am I supposed to know unless somebody tells me? And Philip says, I know what they mean. And he began to explain to him, and he went on and he explained even further. The man was baptized. That is how this is supposed to work. It's not enough to just read the text and jump directly into the application, but we must determine what it means so we can apply it correctly in our lives. A lot of people don't do it that way. They just read something, they automatically implement it, and they find out later that it's not implemented in the right application that the Word of God designed it to be implemented in. That's why we have thousands and thousands of religions today. You see, that's what happens when you don't take the right interpretation of what the Bible is actually saying. So we have to read the scriptures, and you got to ask yourself one simple question in mind. What does this mean? Get you a 3x5 card and write it out on a nice, pretty handwriting. What does this mean? And use it as a marker as you go down the page so you're constantly reminded, what is God saying to me? We need to let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We need to use God's own words to interpret His own words. Did you just get that? So many times we want to read what God says. We don't understand it. So we're going to go to a bookshelf or we're going to go to a website and we're going to say, what is this talking about? Then we're getting somebody else's interpretation that may not even believe the same doctrine. And we're going to use that interpretation to try to tell us what God was actually saying. It doesn't work that way. You need to use God's own words. Let the Holy Spirit be our teacher in 1 John 2:27. Search the scriptures he's authored. Use cross references, comparative passages. Use your concordance and index and all of the other things that are chunked into your Bibles. Use that. For passages that remain unclear to you, don't be afraid to consult a Bible study teacher here at Calvary Gospel Church. Don't be afraid to ask an elder or a pastor or godly men and women who've studied his word. You can go way off track by misinterpreting what God is talking about. Step number three is you need to evaluate. We talked about this a few weeks back, but evaluate. You've been reading and asking the question, what does the Bible say? What does this mean? Then you've been interpreting and asking the question, what is this? What does the Bible mean? Now it's time to consult others to ensure that you have the right interpretation. Remember, the Bible never contradicts itself. If you're praying and you get an answer that's contrary to what's in the Word of God, you better check it. I've had people say, oh, but God told me. God told me. Listen, if God told you, that simply means that there's no deviation from that. That is ultimate authority. You better be careful when you say, God told me. Okay? The Bible will never contradict itself. Read Bible introductions. I've got a number of study Bibles. The Apostolic Study Bible is an excellent Bible to purchase to study the apostolic doctrine. You don't have to worry about any other doctrines being taught in there. It's going to be apostolic from cover to cover. I would recommend that. As you evaluate and you go through the introductions and the commentaries and the background books that will enrich your thinking, as you evaluate what you're reading, be a truth seeker. Seek to find the truth. And the truth, according to the Word of God, is not always mainstream life and what most people may believe. All right? Just because society says that it's okay to do this now doesn't mean that God says it's okay to do this. Okay? Evaluate. Be one who accepts the truth of God's word, even though, hear me now, even though it may cause us to change what we've always believed or alter our life pattern. That's what happens a lot, as people are exposed to the truth. They don't like the truth, and they're not willing to change their life and alter their life patterns when they're introduced to the truth. Step number four is applying these principles. If we carry out our studies to the point of application, Jesus made this promise to those who pursue to this point in John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You see, all the Bible studying in the world doesn't do you any good if you don't apply the principles to your life. You can watch documentaries of theologians that know it. I mean, I get upset at some of these documentaries on the life of Christ. It just aggravates me. They talk about the life of John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos. They know everything there is to know about Jesus Christ, but they totally ignore what he came to earth for. There's a secular historical account to it, but we need to apply the principles. If we carry out the studies to this point of application, John 13:17 says, I'm going to bless you. Through time, having read and interpreted the Bible, over time, you should gain a basic understanding of what the Bible says and what it means by what it says. But studying the Bible doesn't stop at that point. The ultimate goal should be to let it speak to us and enable us to continue to grow spiritually. And that requires personal application. Studying Scripture without allowing it to penetrate in the depths of our souls would be like having a big old huge barbecue. Brisket and ribs and pork loin and just watering at the mouth, cornbread and tea. We're over our fast. We can do this now. And never sitting down to eat it. That's what personal application is all about. The bottom line question to ask is, how does the divine truths and principles contained in the passages of Scripture that I'm reading apply to me in my life, my attitude, and my actions? If there's a comment, if there's a command to be obeyed, to obey, do I obey it? If there's a promise to be embraced, do I claim it? Or do I say, well, that's for somebody else? That's not me. I'm bad luck. Listen, every promise he gave in his word, it's good for everybody if we apply the principles behind that promise. If there's a warning to be followed, we need to heed it. Sometimes we don't think God's talking to us when God is talking to us. This is the ultimate step as to why so many people won't read or study the Word of God, because if you properly read and study the Word of God, it all ends with one word, and that is submission. If you won't read it and submit to the Scripture and let it transform your lives, then you're just wasting your time, because that's what it boils down to. The last stage that we're going to cover here is where it connects doctrine that you have learned in particular passages or books from divine truths and principles that are taught elsewhere in the Bible to form a big picture, and we call this correlating. Step number 5, where the Bible correlates. Always keep in mind that the Bible is one book. You may be reading one book out of 66 books. So the truths and principles that are taught over and over and over again are taught through a variety of ways, through a variety of books, using a variety of people and a variety of circumstances. God's given us as many different alternate methods or examples of everybody from Abraham to Lot to Korah to Dorcas in the New Testament to Titus to Philemon. He's given us all kinds of different people that have all gone through different situations and circumstances, and he's giving us a huge snapshot. But all of these are somehow, they're all interrelated. And that's where correlating and cross-referencing will help you to begin to build sound doctrinal foundations on which you can live by. So when it says, by grace are ye saved? That doesn't match up with Acts. Let me study that a little bit further. So you begin to study it a little bit further, and God begins to reveal things to you. That's where his whole book, the whole 66 books, all comes into play. And every last one of them is important, even the book of Numbers. So as you dig into God's word using these 5 simple steps, you're going to be amazed at the rich treasure of study time that it will yield. And what I've done tonight, and boy, I'm almost out of time already. My goodness. Am I that long-winded here? As you study some additional tools, I just want to bring out here tonight, and this is going to require me to do this here. But we talk about journaling, prayer journals. I recommend getting a prayer journal and using that prayer journal to pray, but also using it as you go through and study the Word of God. And sometimes when we study the Word of God and we wait for God's voice, you know, with our ultra ego, we think God's going to speak to us in thunder and lightning, and angels are going to surround and start to sing like they did the evening of his birth to the shepherds out there, and it's going to be hallelujah. You know, when we found some truth in the Word of God and God begins to speak to us, you know what? Listen for that still small voice. Okay? Listen, as a man thinketh, think about this. As a man thinketh, where does God start speaking to us? In our minds. That's where it starts. And just as thoughts come through your mind about other people, sometimes thoughts come through and it's like, where did that come from? That was an awesome thought. Wow, is that you, God? And then another thought may come through. And you begin to recognize when God speaks. But you see, if we're so busy with all of this outside clutter, you're never going to hear God speak to you. So slow down, and when you study, listen. Listen for God's voice. Okay? Write it down. When God speaks to you, stop right then and write it. I've pulled over beside the road before when God has spoken to me, and I know it was a God thing because I was praying about something earlier, and I leave, and God gives you an answer, and I pull over beside the road, and I pull out my paper and pen, and I start to write down what God says. Listen, it's important that when God speaks to us, I keep a notepad by my bedside. And I can't tell you how many times I go to bed with something in my mind and I wake up in the middle of the night and God will give me an answer. If you don't take the time to write it down, you're going to be sitting there at breakfast having your super sugar crisp and you're going to say, man, what did God say last night? And you get frustrated. Write it down. Also, I want to encourage you, take your notebooks, take your journals. I have notebooks in my office that go back years of things, notes. I can take you back to the notes that we used when we formed student ministries and campus ministry came into student ministries and I had conversations with the Canops. That's just what I do, okay? I save stuff like that because I like to go back sometimes just to see how far God has brought us. And if I don't ever write stuff down, I'm never going to know because I can't rely on my memory. But pick your top 10 most wanted books to study in the Bible. Make a top 10 list. Don't start them all at one time, but start. And then as you get into it, there's nothing wrong with studying the book of Philippians and then also studying the book of Isaiah. Okay, nothing wrong with that. But just remember, don't get yourself spread out to where you're like, oh, I got to put 15 minutes into Philippians and I got to put 15 minutes into Ezekiel tonight. No, it's a time of learning and enjoyment. So pick those. Now, I read a lot of books from a lot of different authors. And I want to quick go through this because I'm running out of time here. I have here a Soul Winner's Bible. Okay, this my wife picked up from headquarters. And it's really great because what it is it has in here, it has a little packet, an envelope. And you can open up that envelope and you can go through here and it will tell you how to properly label and tab your Bible to use your Bible as a soul winning tool. Okay? You don't really need to be looking at your cell phone and typing in Acts 2:38 and hoping it pops up on Bible Hub, Google, or something like that. Prepare your sword, okay? We've all done that, so I'm laughing with you, okay? So this right here, you're welcome to look at this after church, but you can get these. I think they're $10. Is that right, Lois? $10 from the publishing house. It's a great way to spend $10 to properly identify and put all of this in your Bible. It's all laid out for you. Also, too, I tell you, I never read a doctrinal Bible unless it's something that is written by a UPC International, UPCI author. Okay? I'm not going to go to Max Lucado and buy a book on oneness because I'm not going to find it. Okay? Now, he's got a lot of good books out there. I got a stack of books here. This right here was given to me by Tom and Diane Nelson when I first was hired on here at church. I don't know if they ever remember giving it to me. I read this every day. It's on my desk. It's Leadership Promises for Every Day, and it's a John Maxwell. Okay? There's a lot of good leadership principles, but this is not a doctrinal book. Okay, it's a book on leadership principles, and it goes through, and today's leadership principle is choosing the right circle. Okay? That's talking about choosing the right people around you. And it has a scripture, 2 Chronicles 10:8, and it goes through six different points that you should look for. Okay, if you're a leader, this is a great little book. A lot of good stuff in it. Okay? But I don't base my doctrine on this book or what John Maxwell prints. Okay? Also, I have this here. It's by Mike Murdoch. It's Leadership Secrets of Jesus. Brother Rossing has this. I've bought dozens of these copies and given them out to our leaders over the years. And it goes through, and there's all kinds of leadership tips of Jesus. And number 20 is he educated those he mentored. Okay? This is really good. It's really good stuff for leadership. Okay? Now, if you want to take and you want to go on here and you say, well, you know, I want something else. I got a whole series by Jim Cimbala. It was given to me, recommended by Brother Felix Crowder, and it's Fresh Faith, it's Fresh Fire, and Fresh Power. You wanna get some good faith in your life? You wanna just really expand your faith? Jim Cimbala, an excellent book, excellent writer. But I don't rely on this for my doctrine, okay? All right? Now, we can get into, if I want to study Proverbs, this right here is Daniel Seagraves. He's one of our pastors. I believe that he taught in a number of Bible schools and such. This is Proverbs, Ancient Wisdom for Today's World. Now, if you want to study the book of Proverbs, take your Bible out, take your study notes out, get a book like this, study out of this. This goes through verse-by-verse commentary of what it's saying, okay? My dad gave me a form of this years ago when I was 16 years old. He gave me a Thompson Chain Bible, and he gave me a book. It was called Listen, My Son. And I kept it for years. I loaned it out and never got it back and haven't been able to find it since then. But this was a replacement to that book, Listen, My Son, because that's exactly what this book does, okay? But it's not a doctrinal book, even though it's written by Daniel Seagraves. Now, everything in my life that goes in isn't always of spiritual content. I have a book right here given to me by Brother Thomas. That's the Canadian Fishing Trip Guidebook. Okay? Now, if I'm going to go to Canada, I want to know what the regulations are. I want to know about expenses and Canadian currency. I want to know what is expected of me and in camp and all this kind of stuff. So this is just a good book to just read. I got all kinds of books at home on trains because I like trains. Sister, the Powell family's given me years of research and reading on trains, train wrecks and everything else. So there's nothing wrong with saying, oh boy, I got to study tonight. And you read 30 minutes there and your mind can't handle anymore. So you take a little bit of break and you read a chapter about fishing in Canada. Okay? Don't be so hard on yourself sometimes. Some of the best times I've had studying with God is when I've sat down and I've studied and I've got frustrated because I hit a dead end and I get up, I walk away, and I start praying, puts into my trains, and God just starts to speak into me like it's just incredible. There I am running trains and putzing on stuff, and God is speaking. Why? Because I took a little bit of a step back and said, you know what, Lord? I hit a dead end, and God begins to speak. The book of James, you want to study books? This is a Lehman Strauss commentary. This is a commentary of the book of James. Now, this is very, very good material. This was given to me by, I forget actually who gave this to me, but I think actually my dad might have recommended it, Hebrews and James. And then sometimes I read books that just, I want to challenge. I want to challenge because here at the church, you want to keep things fresh. You want to keep things alive. So I'll buy a book by Andy Stanley and Ed Young, and it's titled, Can We Do That? It's 24 Innovative Practices That Will Change the Way You Do Church. Nothing wrong with that. All of these books that right here that I have are all good books that you can all learn something from. But when it comes down to doctrine, make sure Brother Bernard, our district, or our national, our president, general superintendent, there we go. Our general superintendent is an incredible author when it comes to doctrinal issues and holiness issues. If you want to learn about the oneness doctrine, you want to learn about holiness, pick up a David Bernard book. Get out your Bible, read it in the Bible, and read his book, and make sure that what he's saying matches what's in the Word of God. Okay? And it's great. Now, when you study the Word of God, there's all different things that you can use. Can I go just a few more minutes? Is this okay, folks? Okay, if you got to go, that's fine. But when you study the Word of God, we talk about commentaries. What's a commentary? Okay, a commentary basically it's somebody else writes a version of what that particular passage of Scripture is saying. Okay, so if you want to look up any type of passage of Scripture, doesn't matter. But there's a commentary behind that. And what it is it's kind of a long version of what that passage of Scripture is saying. Now, there's a number of commentaries. There's Jamison, Fawcett, and Brown. They lean real heavily on word meanings. So if you're looking for words that you want to look up, that might be a good commentary because that's heavy in the word. You have Matthew Henry's. I use his most often, okay? I'll read a passage of Scripture. I'll look up the commentary on that. And I have an app on my computer that does. There's so many. It takes a long time to look up all of this stuff if you're using an actual commentary book, okay, because they're like this thick, okay? So I use that. Also, I highlight a lot when I study. Nothing wrong with highlight. That's why you get good highlighters. Okay? Knave's Topical Bible. It's come up. People say, well, I have a Knave's Topical Bible. If you want to do a study on sin, a topical Bible, you open up to the S. It's just like a dictionary. Sin. It'll have every scripture in the Bible written out on sin. Okay? That's a good way to do a topical study if you're studying a topic. So these are some things. There's Unger's Bible Dictionary. If you want to know who is this guy Ahag, who is that guy? Okay, you're not going to go under the back of your concordance and your Thompson chain. You may not find Ahag. But if you go into Unger's Bible Dictionary that focuses on places and names, you can look it up and you can find it. And then you can figure out where this guy comes into play and whatever you're reading or whatever you're studying. Okay, write your notes down on paper and then transform them over onto your computer. You can stand here. We're getting to the end here. But I just want to take and before you start your Bible study time, okay, I just want to encourage you to go slow. You're not setting any speed records, okay? That's not the point in studying the Word of God. Go slow. Take good notes. Write in insights from the commentary. Write key verses. What is this verse saying to me? Underline it. I use different colors of highlighters. Certain colors mean certain things. And you can go back and journal. It's so very important because we're on a journey, church. You're on a journey to grow in God. And write down your own personal thoughts in your journal. There's some things in my journal and some personal thoughts that I write down that I don't want anybody else to see. But I got to write them down. And the reason is because sometimes as weeks go by and months go by, you go back and you look. And you can say, boy, I had a problem right here. And that was 2 months ago. And now I don't have that problem anymore. Why? Because I allowed the Word of God to be planted in the soil of my life. And I've allowed that seed to grow. And I've allowed God to change my life. That's why we do this. That's why it's so important. We want to change out of this. We want to grow out of this. So write it down. Even though it may be painful, write it down. And then pray. Before I study, I say, Lord, open up my eyes. Open up my heart. Open up my mind. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to preach what you want me to preach. I don't want to just get up here and just say a bunch of flowery words that sounds good on a recording. I want to say what God wants me to say. I want to reach people. I want to make a difference in my life and in the lives of people. So I want to encourage you to pray. We live in such a busy, noisy world. And get silent. Take time to meditate. The psalmist says, meditate on my word day and night. Meditate, think about it, and apply it to our lives. I know I've went over tonight, and I apologize. I'm very sorry about this. I don't want to be noted as a long-winded guy here, but we're done with this. It's over with now, okay? We can take it and apply it. Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about boundaries, and Sunday night, we're going to end up with balance. But I want to just, if you'd like to take and for a few moments here before you go home, just find a place to pray and say, God, help me take these principles. Help me take these things that I'm learning, and help me, God, to apply these to make me a better person. Make me a better husband, a better wife, a better co-worker, a better boss, a better leader on my job, a better ministry, a better, more profitable to the leadership of the ministry I'm involved in. It's all about growth. It's all about learning. God bless you all. Thank you for being patient tonight. God bless you, and we'll see you again back here Sunday morning. Thank you.